go with me to Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 3. I'm going to invite every person to be completely present in the service. If you use your cell phone to look up your Bible verses, that's great. I'm going to ask everybody to turn them on silent. How many of you have meditated about last year? You've had a moment and you thought about last year, right? A lot of people, we do that either at the very beginning of the new year or at the very end of a year. We sit and we reflect. Just one more time. How many of you have had a moment where you've done that? You've thought about what you just came up out of. Anybody have regrets about 2025? There was something that took place there and you got some regret. Amen. Probably every hand in the building should be up, but some of you ain't voting this morning. That's okay. I'm going to get you involved. I'm going to get you participating. Well, I'm no different. I sat for several days. I've made sure we've had about 2 weeks off, and I've meditated, and God brought me to this verse. So I bring it to you this morning, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. I've learned that you can digest the word of God. You can hang on every single word. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And it says here, do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. Do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. The third word in this scripture, let. We live in a generation where we think that we're not in control of anything, but really we're in control of several things that involve ourselves. A lot of people say, well, I can't control who I fell in love with. You better control that. Okay? Because what happens if you don't, you may end up with the wrong person, then you may have years of some heartache there. See, the word says the word let because we need to understand that it's a permissive thing. And what I can tell you is that there were moments, there were days in 2025 where I let mercy leave, where I let kindness leave, where I let truth leave. Things don't just leave, you let them go. You let them. And God's word here is telling us these are three qualities you don't need to let leave you. How many of you went to the nursing home with us on Christmas morning? That was a beautiful, beautiful experience. It always is. It makes you realize that there's people that have it worse off than you, that there's people there that they'd like to have a visitor on a day that's not Christmas, too. And I sat next to a little lady, and I began to talk to her, and her name was Millie. And I said, well, I will have no trouble remembering this because my mom's name is Millie. And she put her head in her hands, and she just began to sob. Now, I don't know about you, but if my worst enemy's crying, I'm going to cry with them. I don't like to see people hurting. I don't like to see people crying. And I said, Miss Millie, what's wrong? And she said, I just wish I could remember who I was. I wish I could remember who I was. I've had many private conversations with many people sitting under this building right now, and you think, I don't know who I am. I'm about to start preaching right where we live. That may be very offensive to you, That's called the anointing. I'm going to make sure I got everybody's attention. It's not good for the believer to not know who they are in Jesus. You have to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, the world that we live in is going to try to define you. And you will be so far from where you've ever wanted to be. Sin takes you far. It takes you further than you ever wanted to go. It makes you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay. It makes you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. It is important for you to know who you are. And many, many times people get beside themselves and you say, well, what's wrong? I don't even know who I am anymore. I want this message to shake you to your core so you can try to figure that out. Because God knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly who He made you to be. Your calling isn't leaving just because you woke up in a foul mood.
Right.
How many of you, now I'm going to do a little truth monitor here. How many of you, every morning when you wake up, you feel saved? Leslie's like, I don't know, are we, what are we doing here? I'm glad we've got some honest people because I'm going to keep this real with you. Every morning when I wake up, Brenda Babe, it's not that I just feel like a holy roller when I walk out the door. There's days where I'd like to just gripe somebody plumb smooth out. People ask me all the time, Pastor Kelly, how do you think I was able to cuss somebody out in the grocery store? You know how? Because one little moment at a time, we let some things leave us that we allowed them to leave and they left. Do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. Don't let them leave you. Get to know who you are. Know who you are. Because if not, every turn that you take, somebody or something is going to be trying to tell you who you are. And you have to know for yourself. How many of you have ever seen a commercial and you watch it and you were like, what was that commercial even about? The Hardee's commercials get me the most. Because there's a half-naked woman on there. And they're trying to sell a hamburger, but I guarantee you, every single woman that's ever watched that commercial, none of us are eating their hamburgers anymore because we're like, we just want to look like her, and that's not even possible. Because she doesn't even look like that. Women, I'm going to tell you something. About once every 2 weeks, at least, you need to eat that hamburger. Okay? Why? Because there's something about a good juicy cheeseburger just makes you happy.
That's right.
How many of you like cheeseburgers? I love cheeseburgers, obviously. But do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. Instead, let these qualities define you. Let them define you. I don't care what you say you are. Your qualities define you. Anybody can say anything, but it's people's qualities that define who they are. People all over the world, oh, when it gets to be a new year, I'm going to do this. Look here. As I said earlier, you don't need a new year to start again. You don't need a new year to do better. You don't need a new year to lose weight. You don't need a new year to get back in church. You don't need a new year to figure out who you are. How are believers able to walk out of a church and leave God? How are they able to do that? One little permission at a time. Yes, morals you can leave. Yes, kindness you can leave. Yes, this you can leave. On your worst day, who are you? Who are you? Every time something happens to you, are you getting mad at God? Are you leaving God? Are you saying, well, I don't even know if God's real. Why did he let this happen? Do not let. It has to have your permission. Bind them securely around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. There's many verses that talk about the tablet of your heart. How many of you got real great handwriting? I never have. You don't want me writing the happy birthday cards. I stopped doing them, by the way. I need a secretary to write them out. So if you offended, you didn't get a birthday card last year. I'm sorry we didn't send them out. But write the qualities on the tablet of your heart. Write them down. Who are you? Who are you? Why are we talking about this? Well, we're talking about it because it's a real problem. How many of you had moments in 2025 where you stopped and you said, I feel like I don't even know who I am anymore? Okay. Brenda, babe, I had moments where I said, Lord, what kind of pastor do you want me to be? Because I'm tugged here and I'm tugged there and I'm tempted to please people over here and tempted to please these ones over here. See, everybody's got their thing. You need to know what you're going through. Oh, I'm just going through a battle. No, baby, you got to narrow that battle down. What is it really that you're going through? Is it depression? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it loss of worth? What is it that you're going through? Because see, at the name of Jesus, every single lip is going to confess that he's Lord. Every knee is going to bow down. Every single problem that you have, it has a name. And the more specific that you can be. Away with, oh, I'm just struggling. No. What are you struggling with? Let's pinpoint that. And if you're struggling with it, write it down on that tablet of your heart. God, address this inside of me. We want to act like and fake like everything's fine. How many of you, this past year, you said something was fine when it darn well wasn't fine? Put your hands up one more time. I want you to look around. I'm going to explain something to you. I mean, you've also thought you were going insane. Sarah, you got lots of kids. I know you've had that feeling. I love kids. She literally has an entire bus of them. When you continually tell yourself something's fine, or you tell other people when you're clearly upset about it, oh, it's fine. Let me explain something. What's going to happen to you one day, and it won't be too long away, you will wake up and you will have confusion all up in your life because you didn't just be honest with yourself. No, if something's not fine, don't say that it's fine because you will confuse yourself, You will confuse other people around you. If you allow every single little thing to get on your last nerve. See, one of the things that God is correcting me on is He's saying, Kelly, stop saying that something is getting on your last nerve. Because literally, do you only have one left? See, we can talk ourselves into a nerve problem just by our confession. Oh, that person got on my last nerve. Well, you better pray to God you've got at least one more left because it's only Tuesday. You're going to need some nerves to take you through the week. I'm looking at the best people I know. I really mean that. I'm not saying the sanest. I'm just saying the best. Okay, I got you to laugh. I'm glad. Guys, you got to know who you are. You got to know it. You got to know it. Why? Because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How does he do that? He does it with people that don't know who they are, that don't know what they stand for. You know how many times I've been tempted to bend in areas that don't go along with what the Word of God says is right and wrong? You know how many people, I guarantee you, every empty seat in here is because I've offended somebody because of what I've read out of the Bible. I didn't even write it. But I'm going to doggone preach it. Amen? We're going to preach it. Because I ain't that pastor that cares more about how many seats are full. I read the verse that talks about that. God will build the house. Those that labor, they labor in vain. If God ain't building the house, it ain't going to be built. I care more about who's in heaven than who's sitting here. And if people are that easily offended, this won't be the church for you, because I guarantee you I'm going to read it exactly how it says. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to look at verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Many, many times this past year, I'd ask people, what do you think God is doing in your life? People have no clue. Well, I don't know. Nobody's going to live your life for you. You better get to know Him. What is God trying to do in your life? My little sweet father-in-law, he's 85 years old, and I walked into his house the other day, and he was shaking his head. He's a very patient person. I said, what's the matter, Pops? He goes, well, I've been praying for patience. And I said, ugh, don't ever pray for that. You're going to be waiting in every line. You're going to pull up at McDonald's. You're going to wait there. You're going to get in Walmart. You're going to get behind the slowest person. If you pray for patience, God's going to honor that prayer, and He's going to try to make you patient. We just laughed about that. But you know what? A couple of years I prayed for patience, and I hate praying for that because I don't like to wait. Because, Erica, if I even think about calling something in to somewhere to eat or something, and I think I'm going to have to wait, I start getting antsy while I'm in the car thinking about having to wait on that. And it's because we've gotten ourselves adjusted to a world where we think that we're going to get everything just like that. And we look over verses in the Bible that say, wait on God, and we just think, well, I ain't got to wait on anything. Why, what is God's big holdup? God's holdup is probably you. Amen. where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What is God doing in your life? How many of you got an inclination on what God's doing in your life? You got a direction. God, what are we doing? If you can't raise your hand, that's okay. At least you know. I love binge watching Netflix, eating the Little Debbies that aren't so... Then things get smaller and smaller and smaller. We're eating the wrong ones. Well, let me tell you, they're all getting smaller. But a lot of times, we have no direction because we have not invested anything into finding the direction. Your biggest investment is going to be time and prayer with God. Well, I don't know where my life's headed. Well, you've probably binge-watched one too many episodes of whatever it is you're watching. And you don't have any direction. I have a little rule for myself. Every time I'm going to try to prepare a sermon, the one thing that I don't do, anybody know what it is? Get on Facebook. I wake up on Saturday morning, I make my coffee, I sit in my recliner with my dog, I sip that coffee, and I sit there and I pray and I meditate. God, what do you want to say? And I know that the second that I get on Facebook, there's no message coming to me. Too many of us care way too much about what's going on with everybody else.
Amen. Amen.
It's all fake, by the way.
Yes.
It really, Mindy, it doesn't matter what the family down the street is doing and how they're managing their kids and all of the things. It really doesn't matter what they're doing. It matters what you're doing. And it's unfair to you to ever compare yourself to anybody else and anybody else's kids and all the other families and how are they able to do that. It puts you at a disadvantage immediately. I don't follow what other churches are doing. I love them. I pray for them. I hope that they succeed. But the vision comes from God. It doesn't come by looking and seeing what other people are doing and you trying to imitate them. If you're going to be in a competition with somebody, you need to be in a competition with yourself. How can I be better than her? I ask myself all the time, how can I be better than the Kelly from last year? Well, I asked myself that a couple days ago, and God brought me to the verse, don't let kindness and mercy and truth leave you. Don't let the qualities that God has in your life, that He wants in your life, don't let those qualities leave you. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. People ask all the time, what's the next thing coming in the food ministry? I always say, I don't know till God tells me. I don't know till He tells me. There are some things that I hope He will do, and there are some ideas that I have, but here's what I know about God. I don't want to do anything without him. I don't want to do anything without him. The food ministry started in the back of a black Hyundai Tucson. A little one. Little SUV. And I said, God, if I can feed the single moms in the church, that would really be a blessing. Help me to do that. Started with this little table right here, this little 3-foot table. What am I trying to tell you? Whatever it is that you can think up, God has it bigger. God has it bigger. And if you'll stay in competition with yourself and say, God, you challenge me to be better than who I was, and stop worrying about Sally the Buckethead or Joe, whatever. See, the Word of God says, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be overcharged. You ever notice how you're just worn out just by comparing yourself to everybody else, and you're figuring out, how can I ever be that good? Well, you can't, because what they're doing is probably not even accurate. Have you ever looked on Facebook? All you moms, all you women, you look on Facebook and somebody's house looks so clean and you feel defeated. I'm wondering where the kids are at if that house is that clean. Where did you send them kids? My daughter-in-law is an influencer. Here's what I can tell you. It's one room.
That's right.
It's one room. Isn't that funny, Melissa, how life works? The devil will get us going. We'll get on Facebook. We'll look at something. The devil's always going to have you looking through a lens that's not accurate because he wants you to lose. How do you lose? You keep looking at everybody else and what they're doing and what they got going on. Be comfortable being who God is making you to be. But the problem that people have with that is they don't know who God's making them to be. And it's not rocket science. Here it is. Spend time with Him. When mercy wants to leave you, don't let it leave. When kindness wants to leave, don't let it leave. When your morals want to leave, don't let them leave. When your kids come to you and you say, well, they say, well, Mama, so-and-so's parents, they're letting them do this. Who cares what other people's letting their kids do? What we got to do when I was growing up was actually very little. And I used to hate that. But see, a lot of them folks got all messed up because their parents let them do too much of the wrong thing. And time told that story. My dad used to say, you ain't spending the night at anybody's house if they got a brother in the same house. I don't care if it's their little brother. I don't care if it's their older brother. I don't care what kind of brother. And I used to think, what a jerk. Well, this one's mom lets out. He never went for that. How many of you know that you got to be careful where you let your children go?
Yes. Amen.
Your children should be one of the most, if not the most important things in your life. And it's up to you to make sure you protect them. Because that's your job. We're defined by His Word. We're defined by His Word. When I first became pastor, People ask us all the time, how did your ministry, how did the food ministry, how did that start? Here's how it started. About 2 weeks in, Miss Brenda, I woke up and I had a hurt in my soul and in my heart for people that were hungry. It had never been there before. And when you look in the Bible, what do you see all throughout the Bible? He gathered people and he fed them. Why did he do that? You know how important hunger is to God? He asks us in his word to hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Who's hungry for the right thing? Who sits there and craves the right thing? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Don't go into another year not knowing that. Catch that vision of what God's doing inside of your life and where he wants to take you. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. While standing guard on the watchtower, I waited for the Lord's answer. I Googled yesterday, why did Habakkuk stand on the watchtower? The watchtower here symbolizes a spiritual high ground, a place to be alert and observant away from worldly distractions. You want to know what direction God is taking you, what he wants to do with you in your life? Get alone with him. Take the distractions out of the way. Get in that place. Where? What is it called? The secret place. Get alone with him. Allow him to define you. You know how many people feel defined by what's been said over them and about them? You start taking to heart what people say bad about you, and you're going to have a hard time believing God and what he says about you. You think it matters what people say about you? Not really. The truth will always outlive a lie. What they said doesn't define you. Where you came from doesn't define you. Your last name doesn't define you. What you did doesn't define you. Your felony doesn't define you. Your addiction couldn't define you. Your sickness does not define you. What you've been through doesn't define you. What defines you? His word. His word. The moment you can get on board and believe God and agree with what he says about you, you're on your way. What does he call you? Called. Many of us worry about being equipped. The equipping is not the problem. The calling is. While standing guard on the watchtower, get in those moments with God where you're not distracted. What did he say? I waited for the Lord's answer. I waited. I waited. Look back in some of your bad decisions. How did you make them? You probably made them without a lot of thought. You probably made them in the middle of an emotion. Don't make decisions in emotion. If you're heated, you're going to make a heated decision. If you're too chill, you're not going to take it serious. You're going to make a bad choice. Make your choices once you've waited and you've been prayed up. Learn how to say, I'll think about that. I'm going to say that one more time. Learn how to say, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray about it. How many of you last year, at least one time, you agreed to do something you did not want to do? I ought to have every hand up, every toe, every finger. Sid, a lot of it made me miserable because we don't like telling people no. Get that down. Get better at it. A lot of people, you want God to tell you yes about something, and He can't do that because you keep saying yes to the wrong thing. I waited on God. I waited. Before explaining the reason for my complaint, and then the Lord told me. See, there's some things that unless God tells them to you, you don't need to do anything. Oh, well, I got to make a decision. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the decision is no decision. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on what He says to do. Sometimes you've let your little fingers do some typing that they never should have done. Because nobody likes to look at somebody face to face anymore and say anything. We want to type it out. I get it. But Cece, we know that don't work. If you'll wait on God, God's going to have a response for you. He's going to have a direction for you. I will give you my message in the form of a vision. Write it clearly enough to be read at a glance. This is still God talking. At the time I have decided, my words will come true. At the time that I've decided. At the time I've decided. Whatever you're going through, it's got a shelf life. It's got an expiration date. It's not lasting forever. When you get stuck in those moments in life where you feel like something is lasting forever, go right back to this verse. At the time that I have decided, my words will come true. Where does that put you? It puts you in a place where you need to be able to say, God, if it takes a day, I'm going to wait on you. God, if it takes a year. Lord, if it took 5 years. God, if it took 10 years. God, however long that it takes, I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait on you. People ask me all sorts of things, Cece. Well, when are you going to do this to this place? I'm not doing anything till God tells me exactly what to do. They're always a flop otherwise. I remember when I first started pastoring, went to the bathroom, in the women's bathroom. God said, Kelly, remodel the bathroom. Remodel the bathrooms in this church. Well, I wouldn't do it. Well, guess what? All the plumbing got messed up back there and it flooded. Guess the only rooms that I had to remodel? The bathrooms that I told them I wouldn't remodel. to obey is better than sacrifice. How many of you have ever had a kid and you just wish to God they would have just listened to you the first time and they wouldn't have ended up so miserable? Amen. Me too. Now, something that I did that was very interesting, and I've never done this until I was 40 years old, a few days ago, on Frank and I's anniversary. He brings out some very weird sides to me. That's how you know you really love somebody. You'll try new things. And last year, God put somebody in my life, an older woman that I really have a lot of respect for. And one of the main things that this woman told me to do is she said, Pastor Kelly, the people in your life, they need to know how you feel about them. And I thought, well, I tell them. She said, no, you need to write them a letter. And you need to tell them what you think about them and how you feel about them. And you need to give it to them. Now, I'm a spoiled, rotten, high-maintenance brat. Ask Frankie boy over there. And I said, Frank, sweetheart, is there anything you want for our anniversary? He said, oh, a couple pairs of jogging pants. I got them jogging pants on Amazon for like $7 a piece. I was thrilled. He's not hard to please. He said, do you want anything? I said, honestly, I can't think of one thing that I just really want. I'm content. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. But what I would like from you, and it won't cost you a dime, is I want you to write me a love note. Aww. And I'm going to write you one. Let me tell you something. I don't know what goes on with women when they turn 40, but I don't know. You either want to kill somebody or cry or something. I don't know. Amen. And it changes from like moment to moment. Paul's like, I've lived through that. He lived to tell about it just for you, just so you know. And so I began to write Frank a letter. And can I be like super honest with y'all and you won't get all bent up out of shape about some things? Okay. It works better when the pastor can just keep some things real. Brenda Babe, all year long, I have prayed for people that have lost somebody. There's several folks, you've lost your spouse, maybe you've lost a child. You've lost. Now I married somebody that's 22 years older than me. And in the back of my head, on my bad days, I'm sitting there and I think, how long do we have? And I began to write this letter. And as I began to write it, God said, I want you to tell everybody that's lost somebody this year to do this. And I wrote something to Frank that I had never even thought about, Jill. And this letter, very unlike me, it was 2 pages long, front and back. And I could have gone on the entire day. And I was just sobbing. And I said, you know, sweetie, in the beginning of our relationship, I used to almost get mad at God because I realized that our time is limited. We only have so much of it. Because I was trying to limit what we're going to have. Limited in days. But God has ministered to me. You don't limit the time with the people that you have the most. You don't count it with the days. You count with every moment that you had with them. All of the tears that you shed with them. All of the laughs that you shed with them. All of the times where you just had to say, okay, I'm going to compromise. You get to win this one. But if you've lost somebody in here, I believe that everybody should write the people that they love the most. They should know how you feel. You say, well, I can't do that because they're mad at me. Write it anyways. But especially the folks, you've said, I lost somebody that I really, really love. Write them a letter. Tell them how much that you love them. Not in the past tense. Tell them how much that you love them. You don't have to finish it in a day. You don't have to finish that in a month. That can take however long. But I promise you, by the time you've written that letter, you're going to realize just how blessed that you are to have had a love like that. You say, well, they're not here anymore. Look here. Time is like literally a vapor. There's been times where I've looked at people this year and I just thought, God, what can I do for them? They're hurting so bad. Write those letters. Write them. Well, I don't like to cry. Let yourself cry. Let yourself cry over that. Let yourself understand just how blessed that you were, that you are, that you're going to be. We're going to do something very special. I'm going to ask everybody to stand to your feet. We're going to circle around. Y'all grab your candle. We're going to get around all of this sanctuary in a circle. Jill, go get the little kid class. One of the things that we're going to start doing